Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special post-game edition of the Serial Corner Review. Well, you know what? I shouldn't even say post-game. This in-game edition. The game is not over. It is 94-90, fourth quarter, about 2 minutes and some change left. Oklahoma City leads 94-90 with the ball, I might add. I clearly miscalculated that when this game was going to be over with. Thought, 9 o'clock, 11:30, 2.5 hours, but was certainly off the mark. But with that said, we're just going to have more fun. We're going to watch the game, talk about it at the same time. A lot of things that I saw, especially in the second half, because I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't even into the game in the first half. I mean, I was doing a million other things. Well, I had the game on television, but I'm waiting for Dallas to make this big move and basically, be celebrating on the bench in terms of going to the NBA Finals. But give Oklahoma City credit. Not only have they hung around, they frankly have outplayed Dallas, to be honest with you, throughout the course of this game. So they are up right now, 94-90. We are on till midnight. On this latest edition, again, this post-game, in-game edition of the Serial Corner Review, Oklahoma City, Dallas. Oklahoma City loses, they go home. Dallas wins, they, of course, advance to their second NBA Finals in 5 years. Of course, they lost back in 2006 to the Miami Heat, who are also on the brink of advancing to their second NBA Finals in this franchise's history. A lot to talk about. In the NBA today, and again, we're going to be watching this Dallas game and watch it unfold. Westbrook and Harden are having big games. Westbrook, at last check, I think Harden had 23. Westbrook had 29. Harden, when Harden plays well, Oklahoma City is a different team. I mean, he really has been basically the pulse of this team, even more than Durant or Westbrook, to be honest with you. I mean, when he's been good, they normally, even in these playoffs, they're normally, not only do they win, they normally dominate. 2:24 left. As again, Dallas, you keep waiting for Dallas to get a couple stops and pull away. But it might just be Oklahoma City's night. Remember, Oklahoma City was a very good road team this year. They've already won a road game against Dallas in this series. I did not expect anything out of Oklahoma City in this game. I have to say that I am absolutely shocked that Oklahoma City is still in this game, let alone winning it. As again, Dallas has the ball, I should say. And Dallas just scored. Shawn Marion, who has 21 points, played a very good game, cut the lead to 2. Very interesting to see how Oklahoma City finishes this game. The call number is 347-215-6180, as always. You can also follow me at twitter.com/WilliamJura or hit me up at blog@facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. Oklahoma City's up by 2. Durant just missed a ridiculous shot. He should have never took it, but they did get a foul. Westbrook did get a foul on the offensive rebound. So I don't know if Dallas is in the penalty or not. But it is still Oklahoma City's ball. Oklahoma City, again, trying to stave off elimination. No, Dallas is what? Oklahoma City is not in the penalty. They had the ball back with just under 2 minutes. Westbrook having a great game, 29-6-5. I will tell you why Oklahoma City, win or lose, should be excited about their prospects of the future. I saw something in this game that I liked from their standpoint that they need to go to in the future. But still a lot of game to be played. Dallas, oh, they almost threw the ball away. Nowitzki tried to make a pass, got tipped out of bounds. Still Dallas ball. 94-92, Oklahoma City up by two. 1:24 left in the fourth quarter. As I do a little play-by-play here, see if I have a future as a play-by-play man. I don't like play-by-play, but we'll have some fun here. Nowitzki, oh, how did he get wide? Oh my goodness, Nowitzki just missed a wide-open three-point shot. Dallas gets the ball back. Nowitzki gets another three-point shot. He's not gonna miss twice. No, there's no way he's gonna miss twice. Dirk Nowitzki hits a three-pointer. And there you go. Dallas is taking the lead, 95-92. He had two great looks. I mean, you're talking about the guy who's been the best player in the playoffs, who is shooting the ball at a ridiculous clip, getting one wide open shot. Then they get an offensive rebound, he gets another one. There was no way, and I mean no way, that he was going to miss that second three-point shot. He knocks it down. Dallas is now up 95-94 as they try to close out the Oklahoma City Thunder in five games. Just, I mean, you can't give up extra possessions in a game like this. It could be just like death in the postseason. You know, Pat Riley once said famously, no rebounds, no rings. And that is the offensive rebound that might have cost Oklahoma City a chance to go back home and tie up this series. That, I mean, you got to get that rebound. Now, first pass, wide open shot. Great screen, great play call, wide open shot. As my cousin just texted me here, Dirk's the man. Yeah, he's been the man. He has been absolutely the man, playing more like Jordan than Larry Bird. And I'm going to get to that, too, about these whole Larry Bird comparisons. I think people are getting a little crazy with that, but we can talk about that. But Dirk Nowitzki gets a wide-open three. He gets a wide-open three and knocks it down the second time. There was no way that he was missing that second shot. No way. 95-94, Dallas leads. Under a minute left in this game. It could be under a minute left in the Oklahoma City season as they have trailed 3-1 in this series. Again, Westbrook, yeah, one now under a minute. Let me get this right. 1:14 left. Oklahoma City has the ball. One timeout left. On the floor, you have Harden, Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka, and Collison, which is their best five. And I also want to say, I think Maynard's on the floor too. As Oklahoma City inbounds the ball, Westbrook has it. We'll see if they go pick and roll with James Harden, Harden is their best playmaker. They are going to pick and roll with Harden and Durant. Let's see what they're going to do here. Taking kind of long in the shot clock. That's a terrible possession. Terrible possession. Dallas has the ball. Slam dunk. Dallas is going to win this game. Dallas is going to win the game. That's it. I mean, Dallas is going to win this game. Awful possession for Oklahoma City. I mean, neither Westbrook or Durant took the shot. That is that's why, you know, you were waiting for this to happen. And if Sean Barry gets an and one at that. So 97-94, Dallas has the ball. Sean Barry is on the foul line. Barry has been great tonight. 25 points, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, or 5 for 6 from the free throw line. He can basically put the game away if he makes it, and he does. 98-94. Again, you were waiting for this to happen. We were waiting for the shoe to drop and for Dallas to take over this game. They've taken over this game in just the last basically 30 seconds. Eric Maynard had a ball. Is this Westbrook? Westbrook gets his shot blocked but gets fouled. But I'm going back to that last possession where Oklahoma City had the ball and was down by one. Just got an awful shot. No Kevin Durant taking the shot. I believe it was, I want to say Maynard took a shot, but I believe it might have been Westbrook. I wish they'd go back to that. But it was either Maynard or Westbrook. But besides the point right now, just an awful, awful possession that led to a fast break by Dallas and led to a 3-point play that I think put Dallas, put Oklahoma City away. Now, still 39 seconds left. Westbrook makes these free throws. It's 98-96. with 39 seconds, so that, you know, they can get a stop and try to tie the game if they get a stop. But, you know, they put themselves in a bad spot with that three-point play by Sean Marion as Westbrook attempts to cut the lead in half, makes the first three free throw, 98-95, Oklahoma City down by three. You don't have to foul, of course, even if you miss a make. He makes it. You play straight up defense, get a stop, get the ball with about probably 14, 15 seconds. He makes both of them. 98-96, Dallas leads. Dallas 39 seconds away from the NBA Finals. It's amazing how quickly a game can just come apart. Oklahoma City was winning, was leading this game throughout the course, throughout basically the majority of this game. And in the last, 30 to 35 seconds, it's falling apart for them. First, they get 7 points. They get 6 points. 6 points in two possessions. Dirk Nowitzki knocks down a three-point shot. Sean Marion gets an and-one. And-one off an awful shot by Oklahoma City. So basically, Dallas goes from being down two to up four in a matter of, within two possessions. That's how quick this game changed. This is the Super Quick Review post-game edition. Dallas. Oklahoma City trying to stave off elimination and extend their season. If they win tonight, they will have game six on Friday night, back in Oklahoma City. If not, of course, Dallas advances to the NBA Finals. Dallas, Oklahoma City has controlled the majority of this game. They've been leading from start to finish, have outplayed Dallas up until this point. Dallas has made this late surge just, again, within the matter of two possessions. And now we're going to see whether or not Dallas can finish Oklahoma City off. Dirk Nowitzki, 24 points, 9 rebounds, as you see. Look at the efficiency. 24 points on 14 shots, which is, the way he's been playing, that's bad. That's an off game for him, the way he's been playing. But we're going to see if Oklahoma City can get a stop here, get the ball back, and try to force an overtime. We try to get overtime for the third straight night in the NBA playoffs. Of course, last time these two teams played, they met the overtime. And, of course, you had last night Miami and Chicago going to overtime with the Heat winning. So, again, this is the most important possession of Oklahoma City's season right now, as Dirk has the ball, Dirk fakes, and misses. He missed a shot, all right, and they get another offensive rebound. And, of course, Dirk gets fouled, and that's the game right there. It came down to Oklahoma City not being able to hit the offensive. Get two offensive rebounds cost Oklahoma City this game, basically, in the last minute. Up by two. They get an offensive rebound. Nowitzki gets a wide open three, knocks it down, puts Dallas up by one. Now Dallas up by one. Nowitzki misses a shot. Can get an offensive rebound. Now Nowitzki is at the foul line where he's been virtually automatic. Nails it, of course, and now they're up by three. So 13.3 seconds left. Dallas is up 99-96 as Nowitzki has a second free throw, try to get point number 26 on the night. Great game out of Sean Marion. To me, Sean Marion was the difference in this game. Nowitzki, of course, makes the second free throw to go up four. They have 4:13.3 seconds left. Now, if you're Oklahoma City, you do not need to attempt the three-point shot. Still have plenty of time left. Get a quick two. Foul Jason Kidd. Double dirt Nowitzki and foul somebody else, basically. You're trying to do your best to keep the ball out of Nowitzki's hands. And make somebody else make two free throws. But again, Oklahoma City, should have won this game. Oklahoma City is going to be kicking themselves at the end of the series because, really, the last two games were games that they should have won. That's all there is to it. This game, this series, really, in essence, should be 3-2 Oklahoma City. They gave away game four, 15-point lead, 5 minutes left. And in this game, yes, the lead didn't get that high, but they were, to me, not in total control, but they, you know, they had outplayed Dallas up until the last minute, you know, minute in 14, minute in 20 seconds. Let's see what they do here in the last 13.3 seconds. Again, need a score on this possession to stay alive as they inbounds the ball here. Let's, if they can inbound the ball, they barely get it in. Terrible shot. It's an awful shot. Harden, to get an offensive rebound. Harden, this is a three. That's going to do it. That's going to wrap it up. Dallas is going to the NBA Finals. 100-96. Dallas going 102-96. Dallas advances to their second NBA Finals in franchise history. Now they change it to 100-96. Oklahoma City is going home. When we return, as we take a break here, when we return, we'll talk about some good things and bad things that I saw as far as Oklahoma City and what they should do for the future. And we will also look back at last night's Chicago-Miami game. When we return, we'll be right back. This is the Sooner Oklahoma Review, 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Sooner Oklahoma Review. Now, this is officially the post-game edition of the Sooner Oklahoma Review, Dallas, Oklahoma City. Dallas wins 100-96. They trail for the majority of the game late into the fourth quarter. Dallas, Oklahoma City had as big of an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, but were not able to hold on. The two key plays that got Dallas back into this game, and I think won the game for him, was an offensive rebound that they got off of Dirk Nowitzki, missed 3-point shot, down by two. They get that. Makes a 3-point shot to go up by one. Then Oklahoma City had a terrible possession where I think Westbrook threw up a horrible shot. They get a read that leads to a fast break. Marion gets a dunk in the end one to go up four. And after that, that basically was all she wrote. Oklahoma City was able to cut the lead to two. Dallas gets the ball back. Nowitzki misses a shot to get another offensive rebound. And Nowitzki gets fouled on the second chance, on the second offensive rebound, on the second on the possession. On that same possession, and makes two free throws. Oklahoma City gets a couple of bad shots, and that's all she wrote as Dallas advances to the NBA Finals. Will they be joined by the Miami Heat tomorrow? That remains to be seen. As they will have a tough tour trying to close out the Chicago Bulls at the United Center tomorrow night. But listen, you were waiting for this. You were waiting for this to happen. Listen, I never, despite the fact that Oklahoma City was spent the entire game basically playing from ahead, I never, ever thought for a second that Dallas was not going to win this game. It was a classic case where, you know, team hangs around, and then the better team just finds a way to pull it out, you know, last couple of minutes. The only surprise I had was the fact that it took Dallas as long as it took for them to pull it out. I thought it would come much sooner, you know, early fourth quarter, midway to the fourth quarter. But Dallas does pull it out late in the fourth quarter. Give Oklahoma City credit. You know, down 3-1, you know that the chances of you coming back to win this series are basically slim to none, considering that you're down, number one, you're down 3-1, and number two, you don't have home court. They go quiet and get blown up 20 points. Nobody's criticizing them. Because, I mean, everybody thinks Dallas is better anyway. And most people thought Dallas was going to advance in the NBA Finals. So I give them credit from that standpoint. This is what Oklahoma City needs to do. And we'll have plenty of time, of course, over the next probably 2 weeks to talk about the Dallas Mavericks and, you know, what they've done. Oklahoma City, what I saw tonight is James Harden, to me, elevate his status as a guy who, I'm not going to call him an all-star, as all-star talent, but he's more than a spark plug. Harden, he's more than a six-man. To me, he's obviously a legit NBA starter, and is a guy who, if you put James Harden on a bad team, he could average 20 points a game easy on a bad team. And this is tough to watch as a Laker fan, because the Lakers have won 3 straight Western Conference Finals, but they're done now. So, you know, we're to the victors goes the spoils. Hopefully we lose to the NBA, the eventual NBA champion. But to me, you put James Harden, you start James Harden next year and move Russell Westbrook to the two. Now you say, well, Russell Westbrook is too small to play two. No, he's not. How tall is Allen Iverson? 6 foot, 165 pounds. Westbrook is about 6'3", you know, 185, 190. So, that he's not too small to play. He's not too small to play a two guard. That is the best way to go. Unless they do something else like trade Westbrook, and I'm sure you're gonna be hearing those rumors when the NBA season wraps up. So, I would move Harden into the starting lineup, and move Westbrook to the two guard position. I mean, this team has a bright future. And the first thing they have to do for next year, number one, they have to get this whole Westbrook Durant thing, and mainly it's 99% Westbrook. They have to get that whole thing settled. Westbrook, there were too many moments in these playoffs where Westbrook was a turnover machine. Too many moments where you didn't know where his head was at. You know, you have to sit Westbrook down and say, hey, you are clearly the number two on this team. No questions asked. If you cannot adhere to that, then we need to go in another direction. That's what we have to tell. Before we invest, you know, $80 million or whatever, sign you to a $78 million extension, you need to understand your role and your position on this basketball team. Pure and simple. You want to go be the man? You know, we'll trade you to New Orleans for Chris Paul. You be the man in New Orleans in front of 5,000 people. You go lead the league in scoring in front of 5,000 people and lose, 55, 60 games a year. So, they have to get that established. And I have no interest in what Mark Cuban has to say. I have the TV, television on mute right now. I have zero interest in what Cuban has to say. Zero. So, the Dallas Mavericks are going to the NBA Finals. Congratulations to them. Listen, they beat my team, but look, man, Dallas is hard to root against. I mean, Carlisle is a very good coach. This is the third team Carlisle, and didn't think about this until I saw it the other day. This is the third team that Rick Carlisle has taken to the conference finals. I mean, that is remarkable when you think about it. To take one team is great in its own right. Two teams is just spectacular. To take three teams to the conference finals is, you're a hell of a coach when you can do that. Remember, he took Detroit in 04, Indiana in 05, but Detroit in 03 got fired for Larry Brown, who took Detroit to the championship the following year, took Indiana in 2004. So a great job by him, has pressed every right button in terms of how you know, he's used the whiskey, how he's utilized his bench. That's Cuban. You know, Cuban Mark, somebody needs to remind Cuban, you didn't win the championship, buddy. You're going to the finals. This is not the championship. So we'll see what happens in the finals. Of course, last night you had Miami and Chicago. And for my Blog Talk Radio audience, only a couple minutes. As I was saying, for my Blog Talk audience, still only a couple minutes left in the show, about 4 minutes left in the show. We're going to continue on even after we are done live streaming, as I have a phone call here.
Yo, call the show. I'm on the show now.
347-215-6180. I know. That's the phone number to the show, 347-215-6180. For my Blog Talk Radio audience, we are done. We're going to be done in a couple of minutes. So you can continue the rest of the program. We'll continue with the rest of the program. You can log out and listen to the rest of the program, or catch it tomorrow for my Blog Talk Radio audience. But again, Dallas 196. Of course, you're going to have Chicago, Miami tomorrow. I think Chicago's going to win game 5, and Miami probably will wrap it up in 6. Can I see Chicago winning this series, winning 3 straight, despite the fact that they do have home court advantage, and despite the fact that it feels closer than a 3-1 advantage for the Miami Heat. Again, give Dallas a lot of credit. Dallas, you know, I watched this team in April, and I watched them in that last Laker game in the regular season when they got trounced by 28 points. And I came on the Saturday morning wake up call a couple of days later and said, you know, they're soft, same old Mavericks. Yeah, Dirk's great, but all they want to do is shoot jumpers, blah, 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 so on and so on. Then they've gone and waxed. Not only, they've only lost 3 playoff games, so they've really been dominant in their run here, sweep the Lakers and beat Oklahoma City in 5 games. I thought this was at minimum a six-game series, maybe even 7. And I thought Oklahoma City had a legit chance. I thought Dallas would win the series, but give them a ton of credit. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki right now is playing better than he's ever played in his life, even better than he played when they went to, as we have a phone call here. Caller.
Can you hear me?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay, yeah. Calling from New Jersey.
Oh, let me make this quick announcement real quick.
Okay.
To my live audience, we only got a minute left. That doesn't apply to you, of course. To my live audience,
right,
we only got a minute left, so you can listen to the rest of the program online tomorrow, or just log out and log back in to listen to the rest of the program. So that's to my live audience, as I say so long to you. But to my audience that's streaming, we can stay on for another 15 minutes or so. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Chad calling from New Jersey. A huge Knicks fan. I'm a big supporter of the show. I think you've done a great job. I just want to say, I think this will be Dallas-Miami rematch, but different outcome. I got Dallas winning the 6. I just think that they're the most balanced team out there right now.
I was thinking about that matchup today, Dallas and Miami. And, of course, you know, I'll be rooting for Dallas hard. But I don't know where I'm going with my pick with that, to be honest with you right now. I don't know where I'm going with my pick. I mean, I'm leaning towards Dallas, but, you know, so I'm still, you know, I want to see some things out of Miami. I don't know where I'm going, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, there's a lot of Miami Heat haters out there, and I'm not a fan, but I'm not a hater either. And I have to appreciate LeBron James in particular, the way he stepped up. However, I will tell people they need to slow down with this being one of the greatest defensive teams, yada, yada. They look great, but Chicago offensively is very one-dimensional, and I think that Dallas can beat you in numerous ways. Besides Dirk, you got Jason Terry, Mary doing the intangible. So I just think that it's going to be a different monster. And as good as Chicago plays, you know, defense, really outside of Noah, they don't have those big bodies. And I think having Chandler and Haywood, that might be a difference. But, you know, like you said, I know you're waiting to see what Miami brings, but I still think this is Dallas here. They look hungry and they look ready.
Yeah, they look. I mean, they definitely look hungry. You know, Dirk looks on a mission. They got a deep bench. They're gonna be well rested. Definitely well rested. So that's gonna play. You know, that's gonna help out some of their older players. And they can beat you many ways. I mean, it's not a typical Dallas team. They can defend. They're scrappier. They're tougher.
All right.
You know, Marion tonight gets 25 points.
And they look good.
Yeah,
so, okay, I noticed that we're speaking hypothetically because Chicago, you know, clearly they still do have a chance if anything happened. So, listening to your show, I know you're a Lakers man. I guess you talked about it earlier. I didn't get a chance to hear, but the Mike Brown situation, I mean, it just seems very curious to me. You know, why? Why Mike Brown?
I don't know what direction they're going in with that. Mike Brown is to me a very good coach, but Mike Brown, I just don't match him up with the Laker franchise. I think, you know, you get somebody to coach the Lakers, it's not just about X's and O's. It's about managing egos. It's about dealing with that market. It's about dealing with the whole entertainment value that is the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, it's like managing the Yankees, you know, coaching Notre Dame football, you know, North Carolina, Duke, UCLA, all that. I mean, it's so many things that goes into it besides just actual coaching. And I'm not sure that he is the fit. I know that he's not the fit for that. And I think they got caught up in the defensive thing. Yeah, he's a great defensive coach. And yes, he does have more offensive talent with the Lakers in here than he ever had with Cleveland. So I have to give the benefit of the doubt on that, considering how some of his teams struggle offensively. But you got to deal with Kobe's ego. You got to deal with, you know, Artest, Chloe, and Lamar. Not your Chloe.
Yeah.
So, Chloe,
yeah.
And Lamar. And I didn't even mention Paul Gasol. I mean, you know, it's a lot. You got to be a borderline psychiatrist to be a coach at Lakers right now. I just don't. It has train wreck written all over it to me as far as just, I mean, I don't want to be a pessimist because maybe he's surprising me and maybe he wins a championship. I don't know, but I don't like it. I just, you ask me right now, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like you said, he's a great defensive coach. I think maybe they were reaching a little bit. They saw him working with LeBron's ego. And when I think about it, though, as we, you know, got a chance to see how narcissistic LeBron James really is, and maybe LeBron is a combination of Kobe, Odom, and Artest all put together. I think we have to give Mike Brown a little more credit to deal with for dealing with LeBron that long. But I think the thing that's a little more questionable than just hiring him was, it seems like y'all, and I know this is all in principle right now, but 3 years guaranteed and then the fourth year, the team option, that seems like a pretty big contract for, you know, for somebody you're really taking a risk on. So,
to me, that's an indictment on him because three years guaranteed is nothing. I mean, talking about 3 years for option. That's not, you know, that's not 5 years guaranteed or 4 years guaranteed. That's not big. The contract was like, you know, the decent contract, you know, $4 million a year, whatever. But that three years is not a long time. So he has to produce like immediately. Like they need to be in the finals next year, basically. They have, like they
right.
he has a short leash.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as a Knicks fan, when I see 3 years, to me, it was almost completely closing the chapter on Phil Jackson, which I don't know. You know, it's just interesting. It's just interesting that you give Mike Brown. Now, understand that there's not that many coaches to pick from out there. You got the Jeff Van Gundy, the Rick Allen. I would definitely vote for Jeff Van Gundy before Mike Brown. But I think that this leads, you know, living in the tri-state area, the Phil Jackson meter is going to be off the charts for the next 2 years. So that will be interesting in itself.
Now, I can understand they're wanting to hire a coach. I mean, if the draft is coming up soon, you want stuff in place. You know, NBA season, if there is an NBA season, it will be here before you know it. With October and training camp and all that, it comes around quick. So I don't have any problem with them hiring a coach right now. It's just, you know, there were better options out there. Again, man, I would have took Van Gundy myself over him. I would have took Rick Albin over him, to be honest with you. So, I just don't think he fits the mold of being the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I think there's a certain mold that you have to have, and there's not one coach out there right now that fits all of the criteria. Van Gundy and Albin fit more of the criteria than Mike Brown.
Well, let me ask you this. I was watching PTI, right now, Around the Horn, I think it was. No, PTI, whatever. This Michael Wilbon was talking, and he was just like, his biggest thing is wondering how Kobe feels about it. Now, I'm sure Wilbon knows a lot more about these players than I do, but me personally, I just don't think the Lakers would have made that move without Kobe giving the okay. I find that a little far-fetched. Like, I know that they said, you know, it's been chronicled that he's very close with Brian Shaw, but what do you think? Don't you think that Kobe would have had to been okay with this move before they made that?
I don't know. I don't know if Kobe right now, considering the moves that they made with Gasol, the moves that they made in terms of picking up some of the players that they had to win the Artest, I don't know if he has as much pool as far as, you know, that as you may think. I think that to me, this has Jerry Buss written all over it. Jerry Buss, Mitch Kupchak. I don't think he was against it. Put it to you that way. I don't think he was against it. But I don't necessarily think that he was on board 100%. Like, he was like, go get Mike Brown. So I think Kobe was kind of in between the situation. I don't think he was against it, but I don't think he was 1,000%. I don't think he's in love with Mike Brown. That's what I feel about.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, I just want to call in and say, you know, enjoy the show. It's been a great playoffs, I think. I was talking to one of my friends, and he said he feels bad for Durant. I said, I don't know how you could. I mean, they're a young team. Dallas clearly is just the best Western Conference team this year. You know,
doubt. Man. I mean, they go 8-1 against the Lakers in Oklahoma City. I mean, there's discussion about it.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I mean, I listened to Magic earlier, and he said, you know, they still won't be removed of that soft title until they win a championship. I think he's putting a little too much pressure on them. I mean, if they could go out and get swept by Miami, or if they're up 2 and they lose, I get the soft tag. But I think that soft tag has to be completely removed. This is a different monster, this Dallas team. And I think, I mean, if they are to lose to Miami, it's not like it's a disappointment, you know, assuming Miami gets to the finals. So I think that, you know, Dallas is just, they're on a mission, and I do believe, like I said, they're going to win in 6. They just—you can sense it. I think you can sense it. The team is all focused and all there. So, I just think that they could beat you in so many ways. That sometimes you look at Dirk, that their defense is even underrated. So, and the one thing I like about Dallas also, just like Kobe Bryant himself, you won't see Dallas take bad shots. They just don't. They have the most efficient offense. So, even if the shot's not going in, night in, night out, Dallas will get the exact shot they want. And I haven't yet to see a team stop them from getting the shot that they want. So I think it's going to be interesting. Hats off to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like you said earlier, I believe they should really strongly consider moving Hart to point guard. Let Westbrook be a two. He's a two anyway. He was trying to be a one. He can't do it. And they're going to be a really scary team to reckon with in the future.
Either that or moving. I mean, either that.
You really don't have a choice. You say, look, man, you could be a two. You start two guard. Honestly, it might be even worse to make him a two guard because now in his mind, he's like, I really can shoot as much as I want to. So you might just have to move. You might have to see what his trade value is worth. What can we get for him? Is Chris Paul going to come back to Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going Chris Paul or Darren Williams. I mean, I mean, New Orleans is going to have to do something. They're going to lose Chris Paul for nothing. So you offer a Russell Westbrook.
I mean, can we package Dwight Howard and Perkins? You know, who knows? You know, if any teams are listening out there, I'm very hireable right now. But you know, they need to make a move. Like you said, you're going to give it to Chris Paul for nothing, Dwight Howard for nothing. Westbrook, his stock is pretty high right now. Harden is showing that he's just as good at running the point, if not better than Westbrook. It made us
he's a better point guard.
Yeah, he's a better point guard. So if he can't be the two, and more importantly than being a two, if he can't realize whose team this really is,
you have to move.
You know?
Yeah.
Because watching the games and watching Durant's body language, Westbrook's personality is so dominating that Durant automatically bows to him in the games. He doesn't say, give me the ball. He just says, okay, Westbrook, you got it. So I don't even know if his personality is too strong. You know, before we compare this to the Kevin Garnett and Marbury situation, which I think is very comparable, but the difference is Kevin Garnett still was like, yo, you could be here, but this is my team. I don't think Durant is really verbalizing that to Westbrook. So when the critics are on Westbrook, it's not getting through because Durant is still like, oh, no, he all right. He shot 30, but he got us here to the final, you know. So I don't know if that situation is going to work out regardless.
No, it's not. I mean, I can't see it going past this year if they don't get it settled in the summertime. I mean, Durant gets 26 a night, but he had, you know, second quarter, he took one shot in the second quarter.
Yeah.
They could. So, they get him involved more in the second quarter. They're up. By 8 to 10 points at halftime. So I mean you can't have with him. He wasn't in foul trouble, so you can't have that situation where you have your star player taking one shot in a quarter. That never should happen.
Yeah. That like you said, it's ridiculous, man. So other than that, man, everybody gonna see this Hangover 2 this weekend. I think it might be overrated. Got a feeling that we know basketball to watch Saturday night anyway.
If Chicago don't stretch this thing out, it might be, well, when they play tomorrow, they would say it would be on Saturday.
Yeah,
I think Chicago will win tomorrow. I like Chicago tomorrow. I think we're going to win one game.
This, though. The most impressive thing that I've seen in this Miami Heat-Chicago series, I never thought I would say this, is Chris Bosh. I mean, when he scored the 30-something the first game, I just said, that's not happening. It's an aberration. It won't happen again. And to see him still playing this well, I mean, Dwayne Wade was invisible that last game until the overtime, and he had a couple of key blocks or whatever. Chicago.
It's been Bosh and LeBron.
Yeah, it's been the Bosh and LeBron show, and I think, you know, Chicago's they have one superstar. It comes down to that. They have one superstar, and people say they got Dang Noah, and they have a lot of great role players. But roles is not going to beat you by itself. You know, it's just not this type of defense. So, I mean, Boozer, he's very inconsistent, and I don't know. But it just seems like Chicago, I do want to believe that they can win this next game in Chicago. They've been in every game besides that one blowout, you know. So I just think, though, body language-wise, they look like it's almost over. And I have to say, I had to make one more statement. I had to retract my statement earlier. I said I'm not a Miami Heat hater. I'm lying. I do hate the Heat. I just remember how much I hate the Heat. And the reason I hate the Heat is even the way they were celebrating last game. They celebrate so extensively over nothing. I mean, yeah, you won the game, but calm down. So
that's what they do.
And you know what? In all fairness to them, they can do it until somebody sets them up. So let them go ahead and coon all they want and act crazy over one game. But like I said, buck stops in Dallas. And we'll see. They just got to beat Chicago. Miami hasn't shown that they had that killer instinct all the way. So this is a big game for them, too. They don't want to go back to Miami and give Chicago any more confidence. But
They need to close it out. I'll put a lot of pressure on them. We have to go back to Miami to close it out. But, you know, Chicago's bench. That's to me been the difference. Like they have not dominated from the bench. You know, the stars have been decent, but they're not gonna win a con. They're not gonna outplay Miami starters with that big 2.5, big 3, whatever you want to call it. So that bench has been a disappointment to me. And I don't think Rose has played as well as, you know, we've seen him play. He's been decent. He hasn't been great. He needs to be dominant.
And the funny thing you bring up, Rose, I feel like the MVP and the Coach of the Year have not been putting on either one of their best shows. And I have to go back to, you know, as crazy as Barkley is, I have to say he's really been on point this playoff series. And it seems like the way Tibbs is coaching Derrick Rose is feeding right into what Miami's game plan is and their defense set. Why are you putting him in a pick and roll? I don't understand that. He doesn't need a pick and roll to get past anybody. It actually slows down the game. And if you look at the last game, Noah's a very emotional player, and he came out there. His emotions actually fatigued him. He was so exhausted out there, like literally within 2 minutes of the game, that, you know, put Kurt Thomas in there. Put Crazy Kurt in there for a couple of fouls. I'm not understanding why Kurt Thomas is not getting in the game at all. He can definitely get a couple of elbows and slow somebody down. So, you know, I guess it's now a little late to be questioned in the rotation, but I feel like he can. And Kurt Thomas can hit down that 15 to 18 foot jump shot better than half of the bench anyway. So,
I'm surprised he hasn't played at all. I mean, he hasn't played at all.
He can get a little bit minutes. That's all. You know, I'm not asking him to start anything, but you could definitely get something from Kurt Thomas, and I think that they haven't been utilizing the team as well. You know, Rose is definitely forcing the issue. That's why he keeps turning the ball over. But a lot of it, I feel like he's just lacking the faith in his teammates. So, you know, nobody's going to question Chicago losing to the Heat. You know, he's a great team, but maybe they need that two guard. Maybe they need that second option on the offensive end.
They need a legit two guard. I mean, Bogans, see off the bench. They need another scorer, wherever they come from, two guard or whoever. They need another scorer that can get you 15 to 20, that can take the pressure off Rose and go from there. You can only win. I mean, you can't win a championship with 1,000% defense. It just doesn't happen. You're not going to shut everybody down. You still got to score points. Even the Celtics.
Maybe they can package Bogans and Boozer for Gasol. Powell, that is. Powell Gasol. I don't
think they can do that, but hey, they can get Rudy Gay, you know.
Yeah, I doubt. Well, again, that would be interesting. The Memphis thinks they can win it without Rudy Gay. I definitely would see if we can prime him away, you know. Yeah. But we'll see. O.J. Mayo even, you know. They need something. They need J.R. Smith is free agent. J.R. Smith is free agent. So.
Yeah, they have options, so, you know. Yeah, they had a schedule anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. I'm going to wrap it up, man. Thanks for calling it up.
Oh, thanks, man. Keep doing your thing. Take care.
All right. Take it easy. So we're going to wrap the program up. Again, you can catch the rest of the program tomorrow. You can catch the rest of the program tomorrow online. It will be available at your convenience. So long. Have a great evening.